Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to look at the whole of chapter 8 this morning, but we're just going to read verses 6 through 10. If you get your Bible, say, got it?
Got it.
All right. It says, observe the command. Now, both of those words can be a challenge. Observe and commands, right? It's like, wait a minute. You're leaning on me a little bit. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. San Diego's pretty good, isn't it? You know, I'll tell you what. We got up yesterday. It was nice and cloudy and overcast for the game, and then the sun came out for the slide. It was just a good land yesterday, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, and a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Lord, we do praise you this morning. Lord, challenges come, and we pray for those and lift those challenges up to you. But Lord, we thank you that we are in a good land. And Lord, we thank you for the provision that comes to us, Lord. And we put a focus upon you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for these faithful few that are here this morning, Lord. Not to be steered to the right or to the left, but to keep a focus upon you and to find their fullness in you. Lord, we want to grab on to all that you have. We want to grab on to this good land, and we want to see you move in and through us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
No way. Come right up here. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. We prayed. Didn't even pray. Right here. I'm going to pray for you. Adriana's going to have her baby. There's an appointment. So there's no doubt on the 9th, on the 8th.
On Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So hopefully, but I've been having little contractions, so hopefully.
Well, Lord, we're going to just pray. Extend a hand. Lord, we just pray, Lord. And it's a boy, right?
Yes.
We pray for this little boy waiting to come out. Pray for this mama. Lord, pray for this family, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just keep her and this baby just secure until Wednesday, until that appointment, Lord, and that everything would just go smoothly, Lord, and that baby would just be a blessing. We'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We'll just continue to pray till Wednesday on that. Amen. What time is your appointment on Wednesday, by the way?
At 10.
At 10. She'll be counting the minutes. Yesterday, we had the big game, and I'm on a losing streak here. 2 years in a row, I think. Is that right, Aaron? Is that just two?
Yes.
It's just two, yeah. I think before then we were beating up on the youth until Joe and Josh got so big. Well, we got yesterday, JJ and I got to the park early just because, you know, you got to make sure that you can get it. It's right over there, the baseball diamond. And so I said, okay, JJ, let's see a swing. And he swung His swing was all wrong. And I said, okay, look, swing again, you know, and it came out, the grip. He's not holding the bat right. And if your grip is wrong, your swing is going to be wrong. And if your swing is going to be wrong, then you'll never hit the ball. And if you can't hit the ball, you'll never win. Amen? Yeah. So we were working on his grip. That is what Moses is working on with the Hebrews. He is working on their grip of God, because God has put them through their paces for these 40 years, and they are the second generation. The first generation lost their grip and perished for it. We're in a series called Digging Into Deuteronomy, and God has, it's a story of God setting his people free from slavery. And now he is showing them how to live in right relationship with him. He doesn't give you regulations so that you can come into relationship with him. He has rescued them out of slavery when they cried out in despair. They said, Lord, save us. And what he does is he saves them. He saves them out of slavery, and then he says, this is how you live in right relationship with me. This is how you get a grip on me and on life with me. Does that make a sense? Now, this first generation, they lost the grip. They lost their relationship with the Lord, and they lost it because of a challenge. They got to the promised land, this good land with the pomegranates, the wheat, and the barley, and bread's never going to run out, and all this stuff, right? They got to that land, and they lost their grip on God because of a challenge. There were giants in the land. There were Amalekites in the land. They were giants. They were fierce, and they looked, and they saw that their challenges were bigger than God. And the problem there is when your challenges get so big, your God gets too small. And they lost their grip on God. The second generation has spent 40 years in the wilderness gripping on to God. We're going to talk about how he's developing that, but they're ready to move into the promised land. And their challenge is not going to be giants. Their challenges are going to be how do they continue to maintain their grip on God when they're blessed. We live in San Diego County. We are blessed. Can I get a witness on that? It can be difficult to maintain God when we are surrounded by blessings. The title of today's message is Challenged by the Blessing. We're going to go back to You know what? I think I'm just going to have to preach with no highlights today. Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2. Be careful to follow every command. There's that command thing that he's talking about. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. See, the Lord is our teacher, and as our teacher, he tests us. He tests us with challenges that are around us. He was challenging the Hebrews in the wilderness. And he challenges them because success is not an easy thing. If success was easy, everybody would be doing it. Can I get a witness on that? I have found that success can be incredibly difficult. Many of us are living testimonies of how difficult it is to find success in our lives. Amen? Have anybody that? Now, many of you also are living testimonies of how you can find success once you get that grip on God. Once you find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can begin to move into that success, and many of you are living testimonies of that. Aaron Buggs talked about, man, I was so concerned about my hand and my arm. I'm working on it. I put a focus on it, and I had no pain. There is blessings that come. The Lord is our healer, amen? For Anne to be able to go and take care of her granddaughter, to help out her son and daughter-in-law in their challenges. There is blessings that God gives us, resources and the ability to do that, and we move into that blessed life, amen? Now, many of us are in process. And he talks about how that process works. He says, be careful to follow every command. And he says, remember how the Lord led you and humbled you. Well, I don't know how many of you have been humbled recently, but it is generally not a pleasant experience. Amen? I don't know how many of you are watching the Padres recently, but it's not that pleasant of an experience. They are an incredible display of humbling. They win a game, they lose a game. They win a game, they lose two games. We lost the game last night because of an error. It is a humbling thing. And when you are humbled, you are continually looking for answers to what the problem is. Amen? And he says he humbled the Hebrews so that he would test their hearts, because when you're humbled and you begin to look for answers, sometimes you're going to look to the Lord. Amen? And sometimes you're going to look someplace else. And the Lord said, our teacher said, that I have been humbling you these past 40 years to expose what is in your heart, to determine whether or not you would indeed obey my commands. And they did not. And they failed. And that is problematic. Amen? Tested by God. Continue reading Deuteronomy 8, 3 through 5. It says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna. You've been hungry before? I mean, realistically, in this nation, I mean, we got food co-op, we got all kinds of stuff. You can generally find something to eat if you're hungry. Amen? We're out in the wilderness, you got nowhere to turn. There is just dirt, as it says later on, snakes and scorpions. He says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Sometimes when you're being tested, there's a need for correction. Sometimes God will have to step into your life and bring correction and even discipline into your life. And that, again, is not pleasant. He gave them hunger, and then he gave them manna. Not having anything to eat is humbling. Because realistically, I'll do anything to eat. I'll do anything to feed my family. I'll go anywhere and do anything. You get to an extreme moment. You get to be distressed in your life. And hunger, thirst, not having shelter, having an injury, having a sickness, where there's nowhere else to turn, you become you become in distress, and the Lord exposes your heart, and then he, as in the case of the manna, he meets that need, and he meets you where you're at. And problem with it, with us, is oftentimes our heart is not so good with God. And he says, oh, look what we've exposed here. There's this little bit of bad. We need to work on that. And how he works on that, it calls discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. So if the Lord loves you, he cares enough to discipline you. He cares enough to work on you. He cares enough to get involved in your life. Amen? And Bible also says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it produces a good harvest. And so that's what we want to have happen in our lives. And the discipline of the Lord is hands-on. The word here is yasar in Hebrew. Everybody say yasar.
Yasar.
It literally means to spank. We are talking physical chastisement. And it says up here, know that in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God spanks you. I don't know how many people run around praising God for spanking you, God. But there's correction that needs to come. God takes his people through a 40-year training process that includes humbling and discipline. And the intent is that they would go in and possess the land flowing with milk and honey. wheat and barley, pomegranates, all those good things. A good land. You need to get up to speed. You need to get a grip on God and keep that grip so that you can win. Amen? Amen. We had a situation at the meal program on Thursday. There's a lady who takes care of about seven kids, and they're not her kids. And a couple of times, well, anyway, this one little kid, Brandon, right? And he's about, I don't know, about that big. You know what I'm talking about, George? That one little Brandon, got a little blonde-headed kid. And he threw water at Michael. Now, Michael is oftentimes the water thrower. But Michael, and I'm going, Michael, did you, you know, you need to apologize. And he's like, I'm sorry. And then the lady is trying to tell me in broken English and Spanish, no, it was Brandon that threw the water at Michael. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, you need to say sorry to Michael. And he begins to just cry and scream and have a fit. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And so I grab him, right? And the mom is nowhere around. And the lady that takes care of him, the mom actually was there that day, but the lady who takes care of him is going, yeah, he needs to apologize. And he's screaming his head off. And I look over and I see the mom is hiding behind a table over here. And she's hiding because she wants to have maximum impact on Brandon, that Brandon will not be a kid that throws water on another kid. Because she could have came over, and I know some of your moms are going, wow, what a mean mom. She could have came, the kid was never in danger. It was me. I wasn't going to harm the kid. But he didn't know that. And I got the big boys, you know, and I said, okay, apologize. And he's crying his head off. And the mom could have come over and said, oh, it's okay, Brandon, it's okay. And taking him out of that situation, don't cry. But she's saying, no, I want him to learn. And so she's hiding. And she's letting him feel the maximum amount of that moment. So he can be trained. Why? Because she's mean? No. So that one day he can go in and take possession of the land. And he needs to be trained. The Lord humbles us and disciplines us so that we can take possession of the land.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? We tracking? Amen. All right. I would click, but the slides are off. We had some technical difficulties this morning. God brings the good times. Amen? God brings the good times. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways. This is Deuteronomy 8, 6 through 10. This is what we read, walking in his ways, revering him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water and springs flowing in the valleys and hills. That just sounds good. They came from Egypt. There was only one river right down the middle. This is streams and rivers all over the place, a valley with hills and land with wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, and I want to move there. Says, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron. Now, iron was valuable, very valuable. It's like you can pick up money on the ground. And he says, and you can dig copper out of the hills. Copper also was a main component in making bronze. They made their bowls and plates and all kinds of stuff out of. So it's just resources everywhere into this good land. When you have eaten, I don't want that up there, did you? There we go. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Good times should lead you to praise. Play that game, even though I lost yesterday. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We had a fabulous time. There's a slideshow up here. We had chicken. We had steak. We had hot dogs. hamburgers and melon and all. We have a bunch of leftovers of that stuff, uncooked meat that we're going to cook today, but watermelon, all kinds of good stuff. You will see how great the bounty was if you were not here yesterday. If you were here yesterday, you get to eat it all again because it was incredibly good. And when the good things happen, it should remind us of the goodness of God, that indeed we are celebrating God's goodness. And when we sit down to eat, in my house, we pray every meal. We give praise to God for what we receive from Him. Amen? And it comes from these verses here, right out of Deuteronomy, because as we receive the bounty of God, we want to praise Him for His provision, for His goodness, His direction, His humbling, His correction and discipline in our lives so that we can indeed take this good land. Amen? Word here for revere or reverence is fear. Yare, it means fear. Moses is just referenced the previous 40 years in the wilderness, humbling and spanking the Hebrews, waiting for the previous generation to die. He allowed to die. He made the next generation wait 40 years until that entire generation had passed away. You think they knew what was going on? Think Moses was keeping track on what was going on? Oh, yeah. In that situation, when you were moving out of the wilderness and into the promised land, I think it would be easy to maintain a proper fear of the Lord. Amen? Especially, you've got guys that are doing the wrong thing. They are grabbing onto the Moabite women, and snakes come, and plagues comes, all kinds of stuff. And man, God is not messing around. God is dynamically involved in their lives. And He's saying, you're going to move from this wilderness experience into the promised land. And it could be a challenge for you to maintain a focus on God. It could be a challenge to you to maintain a proper fear of God when you get surrounded by all those blessings. Can you see where He's going with that? I mean, man, you are living directed by a pillar of fire and cloud of smoke during the day and fire at night. Whoa, God is big. But you get into that promised land where there's blessings all over the place. I don't need God so much. He said all those good times should drive you to praise and never separate the good times that you have from the presence of God in your life. Amen. And you know what? Amen. As I am looking at you, I think you do that. I think because you are here after the 4th of July, I think you're saying, hey, you know what? I got to get my praise on. Amen. I am, and you're here not because I think you need to create that relationship to get that grip. I think you're here because you've got that grip. Amen. Amen. And you say, okay, because I'm blessed, I'm making sure I'm going to get there. I'm going to make sure that I get my praise on. And even if nobody else shows up, I'm going to revere the Lord my God. I'm going to praise Him. He says, when you eat and are satisfied, lift up your praise. Let there be a focus on God for His provision. See, it's easy to lose the reverence when you get in the good land. And I think there are many here, many that are not here today, but many in our country who think we don't need God. I think that many of the leaders in our country, we've seen some decisions come down this last week. Yeah, we don't need God. We don't care about God. We can make our own rules up. In California, we voted. We had a marriage amendment in 2008, Prop 8, marriage between a man and a woman, overwhelmingly passed by more than 66%, and the courts overturned it. In 2000, we had Prop 72. I got it written down right here. Prop 22. Same thing, marriage between a man and woman, courts overturned it. It was passed by an overwhelming majority of Californians. Our country, our Supreme Court, has just overturned any of that stuff and declared that all marriages between anybody. Now there, I don't know if you've seen the news lately, now there is a suit that's been brought forth for polygamy. Man wants to marry his second wife and he sees no problem. There are those in our country, in this good land, that do not revere the Lord. They have an inflated view of themselves. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 through 14, it says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. What happens is you get your eyes on the provision rather than on the provider. And there's just some people who can't handle a blessing. You start looking at all the stuff that you got. All the kids you got, all your cars, all your stuff, now there's a lot more wealthy people than are in City Heights, in San Diego. You get to Del Mar, I don't have time for the Lord. I got to maintain all my stuff. I got to wash my cars. I got to clean my house. I got to clean all my stuff. You know what I'm talking about? You know people like that? I don't have time for the Lord. And he says, the people of God are going to experience an increase of God because he trains them for it. He trains us for it. He disciplines us so that we can go in and take that increase. Now, there we are surrounded by people that don't know the Lord and are experiencing increase, but he's talking about his people are going into his promise, and that his people going to his promise can become proud. They can experience the increase of God and they can begin to attribute it to themselves rather than to the Lord. He says, watch out. Some of you can't handle the blessing. Some of you will get into the promised land and begin to have increase in your flocks and all that stuff and think it is your gain. And forget to revere the Lord your God and forget to give him praise and forget to maintain your grip on him. And you lose your grip. You lose your blessing, and you lose your focus on the Lord. What do you have in your life that causes you to lose your focus on the Lord? Again, I say to you, I think you guys are doing pretty good. It's all these empty seats. I wish they were here for a second service. I could preach to them. I might get a little bit harsher on them. You know what I'm talking about? Because you guys are doing good. We do a lot of ministry around here that revolves around food. Many of you came here because of food. Pastor Carlos, yeah, right there. We get people that are in real distress, dire straits, come in starving. I'll go anywhere. Get involved in the church. Get involved with the food program. We do some training here. They get some stability in their lives. Go out, get a job. All of a sudden, I'm working 40 hours, and what? I got no time for God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, you can't handle the blessing. And it's really like, man, I got no time for God. I got to do my thing. And their blessings that come from God cause them to lose their grip on God. And he says, I want you to maintain that focus and to maintain that attention. He says, your increase can lead to pride. And the word here means haughty. It means thinking more highly of yourself than you should. And you think, I can do it on my own. There was a guy here, there used to be a rehab right down the street. I don't even know how many years ago this was. Got to be 6 years, 7 years. But this guy, Ron, he was a heroin addict, and he moved into the rehab, and he was in distress, and he came down and fed him and started setting him up, and we started building the patio over there and all that stuff that was out there. It wasn't even there before, so maybe it was 10 years ago. And so as he was plugging into the church And Mike Schwab was here then, and we were kind of showing him. He was straight. He was doing good. He was out of jail, out of prison, and he started working, and he was a good craftsman and doing good in construction. And then he started taking side jobs. And he started making more money on the side jobs. And then he started taking side jobs from his boss. And then he started talking. He came in one day, and he goes, Look what the Lord blessed me with today, Pastor Bob. And it was this this nail gun. It was a circular nail gun. Is that right, Mike? A circular nail gun? It was a roofing thing. It was a coil gun. That's what it was, a coil gun. And he goes, yeah, man. He goes, I was at Home Depot buying all this stuff for this job, and I had this on the bottom of my cart, and they didn't even charge me for it. I'm like, Ron, dude, that ain't from God, man. That's stealing, bud. That's stealing. He goes, you need to take that back. You need to go pay for that. He goes, no way, man. This is a blessing from God. Are you joking me? And right there, man, he started buying all this stolen equipment and all this stuff. And I mean, realistically, he came out of prison. He was reaching out. He was in distress. He was getting a grip on God. God met him and began to discipline him and humble him and form him and move him into the blessing. And as the blessing came, his wit became weaker and weaker and weaker. End of the story. Last I heard of Ron, he had bought a van, a work van that he had all tricked out. He had all of his tools in it, and he ends up at a park shooting heroin. He gets popped for being intoxicated in public. They tow the van with all of his tools and everything. Well, he had never registered the van in his name, so he couldn't get it out of hock. So he lost his van, he lost his tools, he lost everything. Just like that. Oh, yeah, you were here when Ron was here. You were living in that house, yeah. Johnny was running the house over there. All righty. The Lord is involved. And when you begin to lose your grip, he starts shaking things up. So you're either going to grab on or you're going to fall off. Because he doesn't want you to just slide off not knowing where you're at. And many of you, because you're here today, you got a nice, strong grip on the Lord. And you bless him and you bless me because you're here this morning. So, hallelujah. Tap that person on the neck, shoulder beside you, say, hey, it's good that you're here today. There's some shaking that goes on. You know what? When this shaking is going on around you, your grip might get a little bit loose. And you might say, hey, I need a little bit of help. We got help here for you. We don't want you to lose that. We don't want you to become Ron. We don't want you to get off track. And sometimes it's not the most convenient thing that someone come along beside you and say, hey, you're losing track. But sometimes it's what you need. Amen? And sometimes the Lord will come and give you a spanking when you need it. Now check it out. Deuteronomy 8, 15 through 16. Because the Lord is involved. He's pointing you to victory. He says, Deuteronomy 8, 15 and 16. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. In the end, it might go well with you. So when he humbles you and when he disciplines you, his intent is that you will find success and victory in the end.
Amen.
It's good that you're here today, Jackie. I've been praising everybody's here today. A little round of applause for Jackie. Everybody also, we did all this too. Everybody say, Jackie, you're looking good today. All right. So you're all caught up now, Jackie. There you go. All right. It's dangerous out there. Can I get a witness on that? Amen? There's snakes and scorpions out there. He says, as you're coming through all this stuff, and all this stuff is working, don't forget it is the Lord's hand that is bringing you through. Only time there was danger from the snakes is when they were in idolatry and the Lord sent the snakes against them. Their decisions, their idolatry made them subject to destruction, to which God was preventing that destruction from happening. He was giving protection up until that point. You get that point? He's running. They're running in the wilderness through snakes and through scorpions. The only time they attacked him is when they fell into idolatry. And God's protection was removed. He says, as you are moving through the challenges of your life, remember to continue to praise God. Remember to hold on tighter as you come through those things. Aaron, I think you're grabbing on tight because your hand is feeling good today, right? God's doing a work in him. He says, as you are blessed, get that grip. As you move through the challenges, keep that focus on the Lord. Keep that point on the Lord. He said, remember God's manna. Remember God's provision all along the way that he gave you manna from heaven. Miraculous provision every day. And then at times, just the water would gush out of the rock. He spoke to the rock and it came. He hit the rock and it came. There was a purpose in mind that in the end it might go well with you. And Paul tells us, run such a way so that you can get a prize. Later on today, there's going to be the World Cup finals. USA women against the Japanese women. Right? It's later on, right? You know what the loser gets? Nothing. They get second place. Winner gets the World Cup. Paul says, run in such a way as to get the prize. God wants you to get the prize. So what he does is he trains you along the way so that in the end you will win. And the problem is with the harshness, the discipline and the humility, it's kind of like a football coach that is training you and getting you to run and just, And he's sweating you, and he's going, why do I have to run so hard? Because when you get in the game, you will win. If you can't practice, you'll never win. And the Lord wants to prepare you in your challenges to maintain your grip when you get to the victory. Because sometimes the victory or the blessing is what challenges us. We get so much good stuff, we really think we don't need the Lord anymore. So watch out, because that's you. You're here. You are here. Your grip is good. You are being trained and you are being disciplined. You are moving into, how many of you are moving into the blessings of God? Right? All of you guys. Yeah, why? Because you're here. The people, this is what we were talking about earlier, Jack, the people who aren't here, they're at a different, they're trying to figure it out. Their grip is not strong enough yet, and the little things pop them off. Your grip is strong, so what? The blessings are coming. And as the blessings come, sometimes those blessings are what is new, and those things are what challenges us. And why? Because we're going to read about it right now. It says, your victory is not all you. He says, Deuteronomy, and this is what we're ending with today, Deuteronomy 8, 17 to 20. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. I hope you don't ever get there, folks. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Amen. That's your threat today. He says, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Your victory is not all yours. It is a partnership between you and the Lord. And what happens is, as you begin to see the increase, they had the increase in their flocks, they had cities they did not build, and houses they did not build, and wells they did not dig, and all this stuff, and it got to be so easy, and then their herds began to increase and get bigger, and they're thinking, it's all us. We can do this on our own. And I'll tell you what, that is a problem that our country has today. Our country as a whole does not need God. We sit here this morning and realize that each one of us needs the Lord. But our country, as we say, hey, you know what? We're going to recognize marriage between a man and a man. And all you churches and all you other people are going to have to recognize it just as well. They are saying, we don't need God's rules anymore. We can do it on our own. And here, right here, it says in this text that if you get to that good land and you think it's all about you, watch out, because there is destruction that is coming. And he says, you know what? He's telling this to the Hebrews. They're getting ready to take the land, seven nations bigger than themselves, that they would go in and dispossess them. Because why? Because the Lord would hand them into his hands, their hands. And he says, you get to be like those people. I'll take you out too. Bible says that God is no respecter of persons, but he judges the heart. And that's why he puts this test, to expose and reveal what's in our hearts. You guys go through challenges. Your grip is good on the Lord. Your hearts are good on the Lord. And as you move into the promise and into the blessings, your heart can change and become filled with pride and say, I've done it. So what gets between you and the Lord? What causes your grip to loosen? I call you the cream of the crop today. And we got some people that are visiting and people that are traveling. But you guys have good grips. You guys move into the blessings of God. And you guys will be challenged by those blessings. Lord says, keep your eyes on me. Praise me. Revere me. Keep that grip on me.